Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be 46% higher per month this winter compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bills every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code HOWIE50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Columbus Day to everyone out there. I hope if you have the day off, you're enjoying yourself. This is a live show. Don't get it twisted. We are here, and we are excited to bring you all of the latest stories and news that you absolutely need to hear. There is no shortage of stuff to get to today. But I think because of my next column, which will hopefully be up online today on the Boston Herald, but will definitely be in the paper tomorrow, I wrote a lot about crime and this kind of gaslighting that the Democrats are attempting to do when it comes to crime. If you were tuned into the show last week, you probably heard me talking about Philip Bump's column in the Washington Post, in which he talked about how Giano Caldwell's segment on Fox, where he went up to Jerry Nadler and asked him to talk about crime, and Jerry Nadler escaped via elevator and ignored him, basically, and said he was in a rush. I think that Philip Bump's main point of the column, and he'd probably disagree with me, was that despite some figures that show you violent crime is rising, that a lot of the coverage is unfair, that Fox is partaking in a little bit of sensationalism. And I believe he said that these newscasts were, these stories were catnip for the newscasts. And basically trying to imply that the problem in this equation is not crime, but the problem is how Republicans or conservative outlets are pouncing and seizing and weaponizing on this. And it's ipso facto, therefore, hurting Democrats. And I was very upset by this, not just because I think it is grossly unfair to all of the victims and survivors of some of these crimes and their families, but also because specifically Giano Caldwell, as I talked about last week, he lost his brother in July. His brother was murdered in Chicago at 18 years old. And the whole thing to me just came off as incredibly ignorant and insensitive. Now, over the weekend, the crime has not slowed down. In fact, I actually was able to add on a lot of stuff to that column today, because if you missed this story, it's pretty amazing. Two people were shot outside gubernatorial hopeful Lee Zeldin's home. That's Representative Lee Zeldin in New York. His home is in Shirley, New York. And I guess what happened, and, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but I heard his statements on it and I read some, you know, some reports from CNN. There were two men who were walking on the street, and they ended up running towards Lee Zeldin's home and like hiding near the porch, I think. And that's when a car pulled up, gunfire broke out, and two people were shot. Now, meanwhile, Lee Zeldin's daughters, I think he has twins, were in the house doing their homework at this time. Lee Zeldin's been running on the fact that New York needs to get crime under control. This is not his first brush with crime, unfortunately. He was also attacked in July by a crazed lunatic who jumped up on stage with, I think, some sort of keychain and attempted to stab him. And so I guess my point of this is, how many times do you have to be a direct victim of crime for your experiences to no longer be considered anecdotal? Does Lee Zeldin have the right to talk about crime, considering it happens to him frequently now? Can he talk about the improvements that New York needs to make? And I really went down the list in my column of all the recent stories. You have that woman who was on the subway and she was beaten so badly that I believe she's lost vision in her right eye. I don't know if she'll ever get it back. You also have the subway slasher who killed a guy who was a steam fitter, by all accounts, a lovely person, and he was coming home from work, and he was sliced across the neck. And the subway slasher had actually stabbed someone, a 36-year-old teacher, in April, but he was released because of New York's insane bail reform laws. And the father of that victim, who miraculously survived, said, "This is just the liberal BS that goes on." And it keeps going. You have Tiffany Caban, who's a city council member from Queens, saying that subway violence is one in a million. It's all of this gaslighting. It's all of this attempt to tell you that what you're seeing with your own eyes is not really happening. And I loved one of the phrases Philip Bumpt used. He said it's like the sense of crime. And I thought, do you think any of these people, the woman who no longer can see out of one of her eyes, the family of the man who was slashed across the neck in a random attack? How about the father, Paul Cutts, the father who was in Poughkeepsie at a hotel lobby, 53-year-old father, visiting his son at Marist College and was gunned down randomly in the morning? Is that a sense of crime, or did those people experience actual crime? And the reason I think this twist from the left to ignore this or to point fingers to blame shift is appalling is because a lot of this is due to their policies. A lot of this is due to their agenda. And it's not just insulting to anyone who's paying attention, but it's doubly insulting to people who have lost someone, to people who have been victims of these crimes themselves, to be told that what happened to you is really just a sense of crime. It was anecdotal. It was no big deal. It's just Fox News whipping up a frenzy. And I bet if these people, whether it be Philip Bump or any of these keyboard warriors, if they asked those victims, if they took the time to call those victims and say, "Are you happy that Fox News is covering the crime that happened to you?" I'd be willing to bet a lot of those people would say yes. That they're happy that this life-altering event that happened to them isn't being ignored by at least one network or two networks like it is on CNN and MSNBC and all these other places. And I just wanted to start with that because I think that Lee Zeldin, I know it's a tough shot for him to win this. I know he's in deep blue New York, the Empire State, but shame on New Yorkers if they don't vote this guy in after what this state has been through over the last few years and specifically the last couple of months. I mean, it is outrageous what is going on. And I'm sick of hearing about the sensationalism. And you know what else I'm sick about hearing is, you know, Democrats, maybe they don't understand, or, you know, they're out of touch, they're tone deaf. I don't buy that anymore. I don't think it's that they don't understand things. I just think it's that they don't care. Take Chicago, for example. The Chicago Police Department, this isn't, you know, a Fox News stat. This isn't a QAnon stat, a conspiracy stat that I pulled out of nowhere. This is the Chicago Police Department statistics, okay? There's been a 37% increase in violent crime compared to 2021. Now, that has not stopped Lori Lightfoot, who's not just the mayor, but as she once told us, the public face of Chicago, from filming cringeworthy TikTok videos promoting karaoke competitions. Is it that she doesn't understand what people are going through, or is it that she just doesn't care? I don't think anyone is stupid in these situations. I think they understand full well. I just think they're past the point of pretending to care. And hopefully that lack of compassion and that lack of competence when it comes to handling this crime problem will finally wallop these Democrats in the midterms. Other news stories I wanted to get to today, and the phone lines are open all day long. We are going to talk to Caroline Leavitt, who's running in the 1st Congressional District. We're going to talk to her in the 2 o'clock hour. But until then, the show is yours. It's 844-500-4242. Other big stories. We've actually got a nice little local story for all of you out there, all of our Massachusetts listeners. Nantucket Airport alerts police about scheduled arrival with similarities to recent migrant flight. I've been reading the stories about this today. Everyone's on high alert. Everyone seems to be a bit panicked. Again, confused by this. Would think that people on Nantucket would be very happy about these new arrivals. And instead, the vibe I'm getting...
It's the only way to fly.
...is a bit unwelcoming. It's a bit cold, in my opinion. We'll keep an eye on this. I guess it's the same charter company that had the flights from Florida to Martha's Vineyard. So everyone has their antennas up,
all
so
right.
to speak.
44 more hours to be heroes.
I was going to say, maybe for the poll question we'll do you think Nantucket will welcome migrants for longer or for more time or less time than Martha's Vineyard? Martha's Vineyard was 44 hours, and my God, what a courageous 44 hours it was. 44 hours filled with profiles and courage awards, filled with backslaps and virtue signaling and just rounds of applause, standing ovations. But will Nantucket beat them? I don't know. Only time will tell. Also, if you missed this, it was a hilarious, hilarious situation unfolded on Twitter. Representative Lauren Boebert put up a tweet where she said two words, "Let's go, Brandon." Now, anyone who reads Howie's columns or, you know, watches the news or has watched any of Joe Biden's speeches, you might realize that she's making fun of Joe Biden because recently he said,
two words, made in America.
Right. Now, if you missed that, then you're pretty out of it. You know, you're not someone who's in the news biz. Maybe I should watch myself here. As someone who covers media and someone who covers news, I've heard that cut already like seven times. So I knew exactly what she meant. But because the left and the journalists, using mega air quotes there, because they don't care about Joe Biden's rapidly declining cognitive ability, though, to be fair, he made this mistake before he really went downhill with the J-O-B-S jobs situation. So maybe we shouldn't blame it on that. But because the left ignores and tries to actively suppress anything that rises to the level of bad press for Joe Biden, they didn't know about that moment. They had never heard of it before. So when Lauren Boebert made that joke on Twitter, everyone from David Hogg to Joy Reid all called Lauren Boebert a moron. They were saying, like, two words, that's three words, you idiot. Without realizing that they were actually, by accident, dunking on their dear leader. It reminds me of, and I hope I get this right here, I think it was Senator Kennedy. No, it was Louie Gohmert. It reminds me of when Louie Gohmert went on to the... He was giving a speech and he quoted Nancy Pelosi directly and it was an uproar. People couldn't believe that he said what he said. And I'll find the exact example. But then it turns out then he had to look at people and say, listen, you can't get mad at me. Those were Nancy Pelosi's words. And all the Democrats were like, huh? Because they don't know each other's gaffes. Trust me, if you throw a gaffe out that Donald Trump has made, if you throw a gaffe out that DeSantis has made, I've heard about it not once, not twice. I've heard about it 6,000 times because it becomes the news for 24 hours, if not longer. And it gets brought up over and over and over and over and over again. In every conversation and every debate you have about that person from there on out, that gaffe will be brought up. But if you're a Democrat, you've never heard of these gaffes before. It's really amazing, actually. And a brilliant move by Boebert. I got to give her that one. 844-500-4242. We'll take all of your calls. We have so much to talk about today. We didn't even scratch the surface of all the stories out there. If you've looked at your retirement account lately, it probably feels like Halloween, like you've seen a ghost. It's scary. It's spooky season when it comes to checking out your retirement account. But that doesn't mean that you are helpless. You can still do something about it. Yes, Wall Street is in a downturn. And yes, it feels like it's taking your retirement money with it because it is. But you need a hedge to protect your retirement so that you don't lose any more money. You need to stop the bleeding. And that's why our friends at Monetary Gold would like to send you two free guides. What's better than a guide from Monetary Gold? A free guide from Monetary Gold. And what's better than a free guide from Monetary Gold? Two free guides. So all you have to do is dial 800-267-6500. That's 800-267-6500. And these free guides will show you how to protect your assets and get through this financial crisis. There is a way to get through it. And today, You can buy physical gold or silver and roll over your IRA or 401k retirement account. A lot of people are doing that right now. It's a great time to do it. Or you can go to monetarygold.com/grace. Call 800-267-6500 or go to monetarygold.com/grace. One more time, it's 800-267-6500. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Incidentally, what's your policy on Columbus Day?
We work.
Really? The guy discovered the new world.
Happy Columbus Day, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. A wild story out of Los Angeles. Have you been following this, Jared? The more I read about it, the more I'm not surprised, because I know how corrupt politicians are and how racist a lot of these woke politicians are. But even so, this is really bad. Have you seen some of these quotes?
I haven't seen the quotes, no.
Oh boy, buckle up. All right, we got to do this now. I'm starting to debate whether I should have started with it, because
racism.
Let me break this down for everyone. And by the way, the number, if you want to call in, you don't have to be from LA to call in about this. This is going to, I have a feeling this is going to get people on the lines. It's 844-500-4242. Now, I've read a few different ones. Powerline took a lot of excerpts from the LA Times. And they started the column by saying the Los Angeles Times covers a story that must be painful for the paper since everyone involved is a Democrat. Three Latino members of the Los Angeles City Council and a top county labor official held a conversation last fall that included racist remarks. That's putting it mildly. About their colleagues in council president Nuri Martinez. Okay, about their... Nuri Martinez is the name to remember here, because I think, in my opinion, she's in the most heat. So council president Nuri Martinez saying a white councilman handled his young black son as though he were an accessory, according to a recording of the meeting reviewed by the Times. We still don't know who recorded it, how it leaked, but someone was recording this terrible conversation. Martinez, while discussing Councilman Mike Bonin's child, said... Paris Changuito, or he's like a monkey, soon afterward. A few minutes after Martinez discussed Bonin's son, the topic of conversation moved to LA County District Attorney George Gascon, who was facing growing political opposition. Bleep that guy, Martinez said. He's with the blacks. The Democrats' coalition seems to be fraying. During the conversation with council members Gil Cedillo and Kevin DeLeon, and Los Angeles County Federation of Labor President Ron Herrera, Martinez also described Bonin at one point as a little, rhymes with witch. You know, I'm looking at Fox right now. They're doing this story too. It's crazy. It says, DeLeon, so this is Kevin DeLeon, appeared to compare Bonin's handling of his child to Martinez holding a Louis Vuitton handbag. He also referred to Bonin as the council's fourth black member. Now, this is the two parents, Bonin and his husband, Sean Arion, called on Martinez and DeLeon and Herrera to resign. The entirety of the recorded conversation displayed a repeated and vulgar anti-black sentiment and a coordinated effort to weaken black political representation in LA, they said in a statement. But the rot goes deeper and deeper. This is what Martinez said. There, and she's referring to Bonin and his husband, and they have a black son. They're raising him like a little white kid. I was like, this kid needs a beatdown. Let me take him around the corner, and then I'll bring him back. And there's way more. It gets into like redistricting and which areas deserve representation and which don't. And it also goes into bribery and all these different kinds of things. But just those statements alone, I mean, this woman's political career is over, if you ask me. 844-500-4242. She's facing calls to resign. I think she has to. Call in, weigh in. We've got a lot to talk about when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We have so much great sound to get to today, including Trump at a rally this weekend. If you didn't see, the former president was in Nevada and Arizona over the weekend, and we have cuts from his rally, but we're going to save them for when our Reno listeners join us, KFOY. And so all of the Reno listeners can hear a little bit of that because he had some great lines. There was a big uproar when he visited Arizona because Carrie Lake, who's running for governor, was vacuuming the little step and repeat red carpet. And that caused a meltdown from the left. They were very upset that she was vacuuming. That was evidence that Trump is running a cult. I don't know if it was like the cult in Seinfeld that George Costanza was going to join, but they wouldn't take him, where they all dressed up like the vacuum guys and they all had the vacuum outfits on. Maybe that's the kind of, that's the symbol for the cult is the vacuum, but it was an uproar. Now, meanwhile,
how else are you going to get ketchup stains out of a carpet, Grace?
I don't think vacuuming's the way to go. That just rubs it in deeper. That just makes it worse.
That's club soda is always the answer.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be sexist here, but that's coming from a man, and that's how you know. Jared saying, "Let's put a vacuum on the ketchup stain." I hope you're not in charge of cleaning at your house. Now, when it comes to these cuts, though, Trump did a great job, and the left's freaking out over everything he says, everything that happens. Carrie Lake with the vacuum. Now, meanwhile, we have this situation in L.A. I wonder if we'll get the same kind of energy. I wonder if we'll get the same kind of outrage from Democrats, because I've only scraped the surface of these comments. I don't want to say it gets worse, because I think that the comment, "he's like a monkey," about the councilman's child is the worst of it. But it definitely continues. It wasn't like a one-off bad comment. These were a series of bad comments from the LA City Council members. And now, of course, the president has come out and she has said that. She's a historic president, by the way. She made herstory, as they like to say. She made herstory when she was elected. She's making herstory again with these comments, because I think they'll go down in herstory as some of the worst comments I've ever heard. And she's come out and said, you know, the classic. I almost wonder if they just have a statement on standby. "In light of the recent comments, these comments do not reflect how I really feel. These comments that I made over and over again when I didn't think anyone was recording don't represent who I really am when the cameras are on and my makeup's on and the lights are on and I'm pandering to people. That is who I really am." Right. Sure. I think we actually got a glimpse into who she really is. And so now she's trying to backtrack. So let's take this back. If you're just tuning in, the number is 844-500-4242. So there were three Latino members of the Los Angeles City Council and a top county labor official who held a conversation last fall that included racist remarks and statements about their colleagues. And Council President Nuri Martinez saying a white councilman handled his young black son as though he were an accessory. Martinez, while discussing Councilman Mike Bonin's child, said, "Parechi Changuito," or "he's like a monkey," soon afterward. She went on to say, "bleep that guy about George Gascon. He's with the blacks." Now, she's not the only person in trouble here. There's another guy named Kevin DeLeon. And he's also in hot water. Kevin DeLeon appeared to compare Bonin's handling of his child to Martinez holding a Louis Vuitton handbag. And I think the other part of this I want to get to is they're talking about redistricting. And they're talking about a small street and Lafayette Park in Koreatown. And this is what Martinez said. "I see a lot of little, short, dark people," she said, "of that section of Koreatown. I was like, I don't know where these people are from. I don't know what village they come from, how they got here, adding tan feos, which translates to they're ugly. Now, these are the same council members who, if you'd asked just 24 hours ago, I'm sure people in Los Angeles thought they were woke and tolerant and hate has no home here and, you know, just virtue signaling and the greatest people. And I'm sure they look down on conservatives for not being open-minded enough. And this is what they're saying behind closed doors.
It's just a wonder why Los Angeles is the cesspool it is right now.
Exactly.
I don't know why that city can't work.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know, Jared. I don't have the answers. 774
wants to know if the councilwoman has blamed Russia yet.
Yeah, who is she going to? Is she going to blame this on Donald Trump? What I did was I actually went on Google and I tried to figure out if she had had any past comments about Trump, because I thought it would just be so beautiful, you know, if she had a long herstory of making fun of Donald Trump or being appalled by Donald Trump. Couldn't really find anything, but I did have a lot of old stories that came up about how at one point she was going to be the acting mayor. Dodge that bullet, I guess. It just really, who talks like this? This is, imagine if these were a group of Republicans, what it would be everywhere. It would be absolutely everywhere. And they're talking about redistricting, and they're talking about certain districts, and, you know, the group heavily criticized the maps created by the city's redistricting commission. At another point, Gil Cedillo said there were certain council members who do not merit rescuing during the redistricting process. He then made clear that he was referring to Nithya Raman, who had been fighting to ensure her Hollywood Hills district was not moved to the West Valley. She is not our ally. She is not going to help us. This is really insane. And another just update for everyone. The Democrats are hard at work and they're fundraising. You know, remember a few days ago when, Rex Chapman was telling us how awful it is that Donald Trump was trying to raise money after the hurricane, even though Joe Biden was also at a Democrat fundraiser that night. You know, I'm pretty sure he was in a tuxedo. I'm pretty sure he was talking and having fun. But only because Donald Trump was trying to do it. That was horrible. Rex didn't have anything to say about Joe Biden. Well, I wonder if he'll have anything to say about this. Representative Schiff, Adam Schiff, and DCC Chairman Maloney, that would be Sean Patrick Maloney, are fundraising on a swanky Paris balcony a month out from the election. Because nothing says grounded and with the people like fundraising and drinking wine on a Paris balcony. I'm sure Governor Gavin Newsom was like, what the hell, guys? Where was my phone call? I'm right here. I'm one private jet away. Wee wee. Representative Adam Schiff was spotted on video sipping wine with Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee Chairman Representative Sean Patrick Maloney and Democratic donors during a recent Paris event highlighted by Maloney's opponent in the midterm elections. I know I keep saying this and it's really up to the voters, but if you're not waking up to what's going on here and just how awful and out of touch and tone deaf these Democrats are, then good luck. There's nothing more. There's no other ways they could show you. They're showing you in every, short of them installing a French laundry on the balcony in Paris, it cannot get any more clear. These are just all examples of how Democrats are, you know, do what I say, but not what I do. That's what they're all about. Schiff and Maloney embarked on a tour of Europe last week to fundraise from Democrats living abroad. Must be nice. The New York Times' Shane Goldmacher tweeted a screenshot Sunday of one of the fundraising invites to a cocktail reception and dinner benefiting the DCCC in Paris on October 1st. Another invite was tweeted out to a DCC fundraiser in Geneva, Switzerland on October 3rd. This sounds nice, Jared. Now, these are some events I could find myself heading to. These sound very, very fancy. These sound up my alley, actually. 844-500-4242. We have a lot of sound to get to. I am going to save some of it, especially the Nevada sound from the rally, for the KFOY listeners. But we also have sound of, let's play a little bit of Lee Zeldin, because if you miss this, Lee Zeldin, and you can say it's anecdotal if you want to, but he's had his fair share of crime. He's witnessed this firsthand. In July, he was attacked on stage while campaigning by a deranged lunatic who tried to stab him. And this weekend, two shots were fired. I think the men were both actually hit. One was hit in the chest and one was hit, like, grazed on the arm right near his property as his daughters were doing their homework. So let's take a listen to Lee Zeldin. This is CBS News 2 New York, Cut 30.
The two of them were at the kitchen table doing homework, and they hear gunshots. One of the bullets was actually found about 30 feet from where they were sitting. Right after they heard the gunfire, they heard people screaming. So the girls immediately ran upstairs, locked themselves into the bathroom, and called 911.
Again, this is a guy who has experienced all that New York has to offer in the last few months. And New Yorkers have the opportunity to vote for someone who might actually have some incentive to turn things around, because he's experienced the mayhem that these bail reform policies actually do. The mayhem that they actually cause. And the sad part is they'll probably still vote for Kathy Hochul. That's the craziest part, to me at least. I still haven't gone over that. And it's interesting because you're looking at this crime situation, and now that we're finally to some of these debates, because the Democrats have put off these debates as far as they can. Some Democrats, and I almost respect these Democrats more, have really stopped pretending. Like, they pulled the full Joe Biden and said, it's not happening. You know, I'm staying in the basement. Good luck. I'm hoping to just ride this out, and I'm not going to debate. But other Democrats have been forced into it. They feel like they have to do at least one. And a common theme of these debates is Republicans bringing up the crime issue and Democrats trying to weasel their way out of it. The same people who were all for defunding the police are now trying to tell us that they were never for defunding the police, that they actually are more pro-law enforcement than Republicans, the same way that they were the ones who wanted to open schools, right? Right. Do you believe that? They were the ones who wanted to stop reckless spending, right? And then right afterwards, they'll tell you, we just passed $369 billion worth of spending. And we kept the schools safe by keeping them closed down. So they're constantly speaking out of both sides of their mouth, but it's really starting to affect them in the polls.
I got to say, after watching the different debates that I normally wouldn't pay attention to, but I'm watching them now. I watched Wisconsin, watched Arizona. I don't blame these Democrats for not talking, because every time they open their mouth, it's just, one, what are you talking about? Two, what is wrong with you? And three, oh my God, that is the weak sauce answer. Like, the weakest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and when Jen Psaki, I don't know if people heard this, when Jen Psaki is critiquing a Democrat's debate skills and saying, like, a Democrat sounds out of touch with Democrats, talking about the woman who said the tragedy of the treadmill. You know, the woman who used to give out bridal sashes and her mother-in-law's cookies at the White House podium. When she is being harsh on a Democrat, you are failing, because she wants to give you an A+.
And I hate to say this, but Jen Psaki is an excellent analyst on these panels. I mean, she is great at doing that. I'm hesitant to compliment her on anything, but she is great at that.
And you know what's crazy, Jared? I don't disagree with you, but it makes me realize just how much she was lying when she was the White House press secretary. Because you can see now, you can see that she understands what's happening. And you can see that she does have a grasp of reality. So that performance that she gave was just sheer gaslighting. I know I keep using that word today. Sorry, get used to it. There's a lot of it happening. It was the ministry of truth. It was Orwellian. And you're right. She is good at it because she sees the Democrats' flaws. But when she was in that job, man, she was Baghdad bobbing it all day long.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't have to protect the senile old guy anymore.
And that's another thing we should talk about. Issues and Insights has a poll out. More Democrats are starting to say, his mental capacity, his mental ability might be slipping. And it's not the polls going up for people who think Joe Biden has a cognitive issue, and it's not from Republicans. Republicans have always thought that. It's Democrats now who are starting to admit it. Natural gas bills will be over 50% higher each month compared to last year. If you're saying to yourself, well, last time you told us it was going to be a little bit less, well, that's because every day it changes, and it changes in the wrong direction. That's partly because of higher gas supply prices. And this is just one of the many reasons you need the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. I actually, yesterday, I was so happy to have a Gen 40 because we were watching the Tony Hawk documentary on HBO. I'll give everyone my review later on. So I know you're all waiting with bated breath for that. But I was so cold, Jared, and I run really cold. My husband doesn't. He actually would prefer right now to still have the windows up to get a nice breeze. I am, meanwhile, shivering to the bones. And I said, can we please turn the heat on? He said, no, but I'll bring in the Gen 40 if you'd rather that. And I said, okay, I can compromise on that. So I had the Gen 40 next to me, watched the whole movie, actually fell asleep, even though it was very good, fell asleep for part of it because I was just so warm and toasty.
Yeah, I did the same thing. The thermostat in the living room got down to 63, and the wife was like, oh, we need to turn the heat on. And I said, no, we do not. Plug in the Gen 40. We grabbed it out of the bedroom, brought it in the living room, and within half an hour, I'd say the thermostat in the living room was back up to 68.
Wow.
So it really does heat up quickly, and it doesn't sweat you out. It doesn't roast you like those gigantic blasts of heat in the face.
No. It's a nice heat. It's like a very warming heat, and that's because of the infrared technology. Right now, you can save $50 with code GRACE50 at EdenPureDeals.com. Last year, Eden Pure sold out of their Gen 40 heaters, so you need to order while supplies last. I got an email from a woman today. She just ordered them. She heard about it on Howie's show. She's so excited to get her Gen 40. And if you want to get it, go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code GRACE50. You'll be prepared for the cold temps. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACE50. Shipping is free. The number is 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on weekends. That's November through March. So book online at nausetbeachinn.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Nantucket care for migrants longer than Martha's Vineyard's 44 hours?
No, I don't think so, because they are already claiming to be prepared. I don't know what that means, but I feel like they're on the defensive. That's number one. Number two is Nantucket.
The National Guard's been activated.
Number two is Nantucket is significantly smaller than Martha's Vineyard, and it's a little snootier, if we're all being honest with ourselves. So no, I think they'll be even quicker than Martha's Vineyard at getting the buses that say, see you later, or whatever those buses said.
Good luck.
I think those buses will be ready to go.
86% of the audience agrees with you. No, they will not care for migrants longer than 44 hours.
Yeah, and there was a post in there was a column in the New York Post, and it was the chilling numbers that reveal the scale of Joe Biden's border disaster. We can get into that later. It just breaks it down by the numbers, and some of them you're familiar with, including that the Border Patrol agents have apprehended 951,568 illegal immigrants during President Donald Trump's final 19 months in office. In President Biden's, it has been 3,588,877 illegals. That's up a sickening 377%.
Team of Border Works. Yeah, ice cream.
And did any of these debates, Jared, mention illegal immigration? Was it a big topic of debate, whether it was in the Nevada debate or Kerry Lake and Katie Hobbs, anything? It felt like there was a lot of talk about abortion. There was a lot of talk about crime.
Immigration did come up, I believe, in the Mandela Barnes Ron Johnson debate.
Okay, so we will get to that. That was Wisconsin Senator debate, and we will get to that after the break. We'll also take your calls. I want to go through a lot of these sounds from these debates. Interesting stuff is coming out of it. And like Jared said, it's showing you how not ready these Dems are for the big time. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.